can be sometimes difficult because you're like, well, I'm working towards their dream and I'm not working towards my dream. And I know I could do this on my own. And so really for me, it was just a leap of faith of being able to say, okay, now's the time I can do this. And I never had any doubt that I could do something on my own. I just had to figure out what it was that I wanted to do. And that's where, you know, over months of time, I realized that this was the perfect business model for what I wanted to achieve at the time.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today. Hey, welcome back to Pillars of Wealth Creation. With me today is Tamar Marr. Tamar, how are you doing today?
I am doing so fantastic today, Todd. Thanks for asking.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you joining me, and I love your name. So,
me too. Tamar Marr.
Tamar Marr. It's awesome. So Tamar, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you got going on, your background, and then we can get started.
You bet. I have been active in real estate investing for about 20 years on and off, but really ramped up my game about 5 years ago when I decided that at some point I wanted to build an empire for us to live off of, more or less. I quit my job. I had been in the startup world and small business space for about 20 years. I quit my job in January of December 2017 and decided to start a real estate syndication business. Before that, we had been doing single family house investing off of auctions. So we'd buy houses sight unseen. We'd turn them into rentals. But I realized that it's would just take a super lot longer to reach our passive income goals doing that. And so that's why I started moving into multifamily syndication at the front end of 2017. And since then, I've gone from probably about 3 or 4 or 5 doors to about 115 as of Wednesday of this week. I'm closing on 2 big syndications this week.
Awesome. Congrats. We'll get to that too. Why is it harder? You said it's just logistically harder to scale from the, these auction properties you're buying. I'm assuming you're getting them at great deals and they were cash flowing well. And so why would that be something you'd want to make a switch?
Well, my goal, I had a passive income goal, and the way that we were doing our, how we were funding our transactions is that we were using a HELOC. We had a pretty giant HELOC. So we'd purchase with cash, quote unquote. We would do all the renovations. We'd have to sit on the property for 6 to 9 months before we could do a cash out refinance and pay ourselves back because of the seasoning period. So that enabled us to only do about one house every 9 months or so with that particular strategy because we weren't using other people's money. I'm sure you could do it a lot faster than that, but that was just the strategy that we were using. So it wasn't going to enable me to reach my goal quick enough. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So was there a reason why not using other people's money? Or because now obviously with the syndication, that's the model, you're using other people's money. So is there kind of what, take us through what's the reason for not using other people's money in the single family, yet it's okay on the multifamily?
I don't think it was a reason of being okay or not okay. It's just what we were doing, and we hadn't thought of doing otherwise, and we had the ability to do so. So maybe I just didn't want to be bothered with looking for other people's money at that time. And I was also working a full-time job as an operations executive for a small company. So I think when you have a lot on your plate, sometimes you don't think about all the things that need to be taken care of. But once you really dive into the business and put your heart and soul into it full time, then you're able to. I had this period where I gave myself about 3 months to just like sit and be really creative and let my mind kind of unfold as to all the possibilities that were out there. And that's when I really started planning out my syndication business and started treating it like a business instead of, hey, this is something we're going to do every once in a while to build our wealth and our portfolio.
Yeah. So you just decided to become serious about it.
Yeah. More serious about it, I think is the right word. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, if you're buying a house every 9 months, it would have taken you a long time to get to, what'd you say you're at right now? 100 and some odd units.
Yeah, I'm at about 115 right now. So it would have taken a lot of years.
It would have taken your lifetime.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe more than that.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So what about the syndication model and multifamily attracted you kind of the most? Maybe two or three things that really attracted you that made it make sense.
So I had heard about syndication probably about 4 years ago. I was a Bigger Pockets junkie for a super long time and listened to every episode. And whenever that word would pop up, which was not very frequently, I would think, huh, that doesn't sound super complicated to me. And I know I could do that, but it was just in the back of my mind, you know? One of my jobs that I was in leading up to leaving corporate world was I was with a regulatory solutions company on Wall Street. So I worked with a team of attorneys in the world's largest financial institutions to solve regulatory hurdles. So what that means is I was just really comfortable with the legal aspects of things and, finance and the bigger pieces of working with a complicated scenario like syndication. So for that reason, it didn't seem intimidating to me at all. And I don't think there was anything where I was like, I really love this, other than it enabled me to reach my goals faster. And I liked the idea of partnering with other people so that I could help them reach their goals too. And, you know, starting out with some friends and family and then moving on to other people as I grew my business. But with multifamily in particular, of course, it's just the scale that's great so that we can manage properties more efficiently, keep costs down, and moving from single family to multifamily, we were managing our own properties, our own rentals with single family. And now I don't have to do that. Now I manage the managers and I like that strategy a lot better. So those are definitely some of the positives for me.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. It's honestly more of a business model and a scalable business model. Where with the single family, to really make money that you need to make and to be, I think, secure with them, you almost have to manage them yourselves, unless you have no mortgage on them.
Right.
But with multifamily, whether you have a mortgage or not, it's definitely just fine to hire a third party. And then you can run it like a business. So definitely a good thing. Can you talk to us a little bit about these? You said you got a couple deals right now, you're getting ready to close on. Can you just maybe give us a little snapshot of the deals and why you're excited about them?
Yeah, totally. One of the deals is a 26 unit that is about an hour south of Seattle in the Tacoma or Lakewood, Washington area. That one was an off-market deal that was brought to me by a broker friend. And he had known the person who bought it previously, and that person had just gotten a little bit in over his head. And he had never owned an apartment complex before, and it just wasn't working out to his favor. So I was able to go in and snatch that property without having to go on a bidding war or whatever, which happens in the Seattle area out here. And so that one, it's definitely a value add property. It's been neglected for a lot of years, and we have some serious CapEx to do and some interior renovations, including new roofs. There's two buildings, an older building and a newer building. So we have new roofs to go in, new exterior painting, resurfacing of the asphalt, and new windows in one of the buildings. So we're going to be doing that as soon as we close here in a couple of days. And then as we turn some of the units, we'll be renovating those so that we can bring them up to, market rents, and then turn around and refinance that pretty quickly. So there's a lot of potential in adding to the value of the property and increasing the cash flow as well. So I'm excited about that one. And then the other one I'm closing this week is a 56 unit in Canton, Ohio, which is about 60 miles south of Cleveland. And I'm partnering with a friend on that one that I've met in the last year. And we're syndicating that together with some other partners. That one is a low income housing. It's designated as low income. And so we have a HUD contract on about half of that property. And then eight other units, Section 8 coupons are being used. And so we have guaranteed income on that because of the contract. So that's great. And it's really interesting with that one because it is actually designated as a low income property. So I'm always a big fan of learning every day. And I'm like, okay, well, now I need to learn a little bit more about this scenario. But that one's designated low income through 2022, I believe. And then we can redecide if we want to keep that contract or, bring it to market rents. But it sits really well as a low income property just because of the neighborhood that it's in. But that one is already looks pretty good from a cash flow perspective. Probably some of the best returns on any of the properties I've done so far. And we don't have to go in and do a lot of CapEx because the previous owner did a ton of work over the past 2.5 years. And in fact, when they bought it, I think it was only like 18 or 20% occupied. And they brought it. It's just crazy. So they did a bunch of work, made it a performing property, and now we get to reap the rewards of that. So we only have to replace the roofs and fix a little bit of drainage issues. But other than that, the property looks great, and I'm feeling pretty pumped about it.
So the Canton property is not really a value add, am I right? It's more of a, we're going to buy it. We do a couple little things to maintain it, but we're just going to reap the benefits of the good cash flow. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. And every year we contract with the, with HUD, or I think it's a HAP contract that we have, but yep, we can go in and then we get renegotiated pricing every year. So it's not like we need to fight the rents and the market rate or whatnot. We just renegotiate that every year with our contract. So you're right. We're going to sit back and reap the rewards of that and make sure that we take care of the property and don't allow any more deferred maintenance. And that's the easiest property I have done today, even over all of my single family houses. That'll be the easiest property I've ever done. I've done some pretty tough ones.
The laugh, I can totally feel those hard properties because I've been there before.
Oh, yeah.
with that HAP contract, is anyone on your team, management, or anybody familiar with it? How did you get comfortable with the HAP contract? Because that's a little different. I know you have to maintain the property to a certain standard, and they have to come in and do their inspections. And if you fail, I know that they now withhold the money until you pass and all kinds of stuff. So how did you get comfortable with that?
Yeah, well, the current property manager, my partner out in Ohio knows him quite well. And he took this property on as kind of a pet project 2.5-ish years ago when the current owner bought it. And he helped turn it around and make it into a performing property. So he knows the tenants by name. He knows all the ins and outs of what needs to be done for that sort of contract. He knows all the people down at the office in, you know, the housing department. So we feel comfortable that he was the one that brought it into performing status, and we feel like he can help maintain that. And he has a pretty big team. They manage about 3,000 units in that area, the greater Cleveland area. So there's no way that I would take on that sort of property if I didn't have somebody that I felt that knew that system in and out. It is absolutely essential because, I don't know, there's so many mistakes that can be made, especially when you have partners that are expecting you to make the right decisions and you're not an expert in those systems.
Well, yeah, that's very critical. I mean, you're syndicating, so you're taking other people's money. And then, you know, you talk about partners. Well, one of your partners right now is the government. And we all know the government can sometimes, let's just say, be challenging.
Yeah.
So having somebody on the ground, this property manager that knows it really well, is definitely a benefit. I like that they've already been with this property for 2.5 years. They're the ones that basically, you know, helped get it to where it's at. So that's really awesome. Why Canton, Ohio? What made you decide on that? Was just the opportunities, your partner from that area? What was the draw to Canton?
I love opportunities anywhere they come up. I don't let geographic regions dissuade me from not doing something. So it came up in a conversation just talking about the deal. And I said I wanted to hear more about it. I flew out the next week to walk the property because I wanted to see it. And we decided to move forward with it. We've never partnered on another deal before, but it was one of those things that everything just clicked and it felt right. So, you know, I do all the deals out in the Seattle area on my own. I don't have any syndication partners out here yet. But, you know, just one of those things that came up and it felt like a good thing to do.
Awesome. Let's go back to this 26 unit real quick and then we'll move on. That's a value add. It sounds like a fairly heavy lift to it. What's the occupancy on that?
We had 100% occupancy until about a week ago. There's one unit that's vacant right now.
Okay. So still good occupancy though.
Oh, yeah.
So what makes you feel like you can achieve on this property that the current owner didn't achieve? What are you able to do differently?
Well, I think that systems are really key. I think that relationships are really key, and having a business plan in place. So I think that the current owner didn't have a business plan in place at all. And I don't know much about him, so I won't say any more than that. But you have to be able to know what your plan is in order so that you to achieve your goal. So I've laid out all of those items. I had bids in place for contractors ahead of times. I've been on the phone every day leading up to closing with all of them to confirm that we have things moving forward. I've done, you know, rental analysis with all of the neighborhoods around there. I've been on the phone with the police department to make sure we can clean up the neighborhood. I mean, I think that action is part of it. You have to have the action that follows up the business plan. And having confidence that you can succeed in these things, then I have confidence because I've done projects like this. I've done two projects in Eastern Washington that are one that's not as extensive as this one, but another one that's probably worse than this one that I'm in the middle of. Worse meaning that there's actually a lot more work that needed to be done. We're renovating the whole entire property. And so I know I have the capabilities and the resources to do what I need to do because it's really just a couple of phone calls away. And, you know, I've learned over the past year and a half how key relationships are in this business, that if you really take care of the people that you work with, they're going to take care of you and they'll go the extra mile for you. And I see that come up time and time again. And so, you know, sometimes let's say if a contractor doesn't come through or something, then I call up one of my trusted resources and I ask them for referrals, or I have a tough situation come up and I call one of my friends who I think has gone through that sort of situation before in a deal, and, or I go to one of my investor clubs. And I think being resourceful is so, so key to making sure that you can achieve what you want to achieve.
Yeah, that's all that is so true. I love it. Hey, I want to interrupt this episode real quick to talk to you about Nate Armstrong. Our sponsor, Nate Armstrong, he's with homeinvest.com, and you want to get to know Nate. So go to homeinvest.com and just connect with Nate. Talk to him. Learn about his operation, what he's got going on. He's a turnkey provider, and it may not be right for you, but it could be the perfect fit. So it doesn't hurt. It's a free call, free consultation, just to figure out, you know, what they do, what they have to offer. And worst case is you're going to meet a great person who's really well educated in real estate. He's done a ton of different real estate strategies, and probably he's going to teach you a little bit, even on a short conversation with him. So go to homeinvest.com and connect with Nate's company. You're definitely not going to be disappointed. It's worth it. So thanks. And we'll get back to our show. So what's one of your biggest mistakes you've made up to this point, and how have you learned from it?
Oh, yeah. I think my biggest mistake that I've made with multifamily is the property I closed on in December of last year, 2017. I knew I was going to do a total gut job of the property. I mean, it was more or less a slumlord property. It's really, really bad, but it's on the right on the edge of a great area of town. So it's like, you know, that it can perform well, even though it has a bad rap right now. So I didn't end up, we hounded the contractor for a written proposal, and he had come out to take a look at the property, but we couldn't get a written proposal in hand and before we closed, despite however many times we asked him. And we closed on the property, and he raised the price by, oh gosh, it was a lot. It was like, the original estimate was probably $275 for the whole project. And I mean, this is a property that we ended up buying for like $750,000. We got a steep discount on it because of how bad shape it was in. And then he came back at like $200,000 more of what he wanted to charge. So that one was just, hey, get stuff in writing. And when your contractor essentially bails on you at the end, because there's no way that I was going to pay him that much for that project, then I had to be resourceful on that one. And luckily, my property manager, who had renovated another property for me, he stepped in and is able to take care of it. It's not happening as quickly as I would like to, but it's still happening. So I don't know, get things in writing. That's really important. And if you don't just have one contractor, have several and get that all in writing so that you have a backup plan. I really like backup plans these days.
I can relate with both of those. Backup plans are really important. Contractors oftentimes disappoint. So having a second, third, and even fourth contractor kind of in the wings definitely is potentially beneficial. And then things in writing, that would probably be some of my biggest mistakes, not having contracts with contractors in writing. So definitely both. I really appreciate you sharing.
Yeah.
So take us through your mind shift. You were in corporate. Now you're not. Is that correct? You're completely out of corporate, right? You said
yes. Yeah.
Take us through that mind shift of becoming an entrepreneur. What clicked, or maybe it's always clicked, but finally you just had enough. What was that mind shift like?
Yeah. I don't know if there was like that I had had enough or not, but about 4 years ago is when I decided that I wanted to start my own company, and I didn't know what it was going to be. I eventually figured out that it was going to be real estate, but I knew that it was going to be a while before I was going to be able to leave my job. And sometimes I tell this story about how, you know, when you're especially at an upper level of management position and you're working with other entrepreneurs and you're entrepreneurial minded, it's can be sometimes difficult because you're like, well, I'm working towards their dream and I'm not working towards my dream. And I know I could do this on my own. And so really for me, it was just a leap of faith of being able to say, okay, now's the time I can do this. And I never had any doubt that I could do something on my own. I just had to figure out what it was that I wanted to do. And that's where, you know, over months of time, I realized that this was the perfect business model for what I wanted to achieve at the time. So that was why was I was just ready to be the CEO of my own dreams, so to speak. And I'm telling you what, Todd, last year was the best year of my life. I'm not even kidding you. I had such a blast just allowing my brain to explore all the possibilities that were out there. Because when you're working with somebody else, you have a sort of ceiling over your head of what you're able to do and not do to achieve their goals. And then my world just opened up. It was like, I can do whatever the heck I want to do. This is all me. Like, it just really depended on my risk tolerance. And I have a pretty high risk tolerance. So, I've had a great year and a half. It's been so rewarding and lots of hard work. Like, you can relate to that. There's a lot of hard work in this business, but then there's these payoffs that just, and not even necessarily from a financial standpoint, because you know what? It takes a while for all of this stuff to start paying off. You can be working for a year, year and a half before you're getting paid on, you know, especially if you're doing value add deals. And it takes a while for the cash flow to really start kicking. But from a standpoint of just like, wow, I did this. And I'm really proud of myself for the work that I've done and my team has done and what you're able to achieve to help other people reach their financial goals. So it's very rewarding.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can definitely tell you're at least having fun or enjoying yourself because of the couple conversations that we had, this one included. You're a very positive and happy person. So I don't know what you were like prior to quitting your job, but I definitely know now that you seem to thoroughly enjoy yourself. So that's for sure what it takes. You're not going to be successful if you're miserable.
That's true. And I think one of my favorite quotes is, I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite. I've been that since I came out of the womb. I've always been a super happy, bubbly type of person, super extroverted and very positive. But I think one thing that really helped was maybe about 2 or 3 years back, I really started working on some mindset exercises and having a lot of attention paid to that. And that just blew me up to the sky on my positivity and my, I mean, I thought I was a positive person before, but now I don't know, so many cool possibilities out there.
We have to qualify that quote. Was that from The Elf?
Which one? I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Yeah.
Yes. That's my favorite movie of all time. I'll have you know.
What's his name? What's the actor's name?
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
I only quote Will Ferrell and, let's see, I don't know, a couple other just actors that do stupid stuff because it makes me smile.
So let's three things that you think help you become successful or have maybe been part of your success.
Ooh, three things that help me be successful and part of my success. Okay, number one is I invest about 1 to 2 hours every single day in myself. Every morning. So I get up at 4:45, 5 o'clock, and I spend time studying or reading, not necessarily about business, but about whatever. Like right now I'm studying a lot of homeschooling stuff because I homeschool 2 out of 3 of my kids right now. And then I spend time journaling and writing down my goals every day and things that I'm thankful for. And then I work out for 60 to 90 minutes. So every single day I do that, and that gets me ready to just crush it. Every single day I come back from my workout at the end, I get to see my family. I've had the first couple hours by myself, and then I'm just feel fantastic. So that would be number one, starting your day off on the right point. I heard somebody say, if you control the first 20 or 30 minutes of your day and the last 20 or 30 minutes of your day, everything else sandwiched in between, it just falls into place. You have to be able to control your mind and your spirit before you go about things. What else is helpful for success? I think just having a plan of what it is that I'm working towards and visualizing those things. So I have some really big picture goals, and then I break them down often. So I don't know, let's see. An example is a passive income goal that I have. I'm working towards right now $250,000 annually passive income. And so then I break that down, you know, how many units I need to acquire annually and how many deals that might be. And then I look every once in a while, okay, what do I need to do to reach those things? So having bigger goals, visualizing what that looks like, and then breaking it down. And what else helps you with success? I think that having a really supportive partner in life. And I've been married for 17 years to my husband, Bruce Marr, superstar that I call him. And he lets me do whatever I want to do, but it isn't just that. It's like, he believes in me. He supports me. He's not involved in my business. He works for Expedia, and he just knows that I'm doing what I need to do. And he pitches in with the kids and the house and covering so I can fly out of town to go to meetings and whatnot. And I certainly couldn't be successful without him.
Awesome. Appreciate that. What are your goals moving forward? Where do you see yourself in whatever you want to say, 5 years, 10 years, 1 year, whatever kind of you set your goals out at?
So where do I see myself in 5 years? Oh, that's so exciting. Well, right now we're working on building our dream house on 4 acres of waterfront on an island about an hour south of Seattle. So that's going to be built next year. We have property out in Hawaii that we bought 5.5 years ago that we're going to build on after we're done building this house. And I visualize by then that my passive income goals will be reached and superseded, so that we can live in between those places and actually around the world as well. So one of the reasons I'm trying to homeschool my kids is so that as I reach our passive income goals, then we can live a really unconventional lifestyle of in between different geographic areas, traveling a ton, pimping out a cool Airstream trailer so we can go on a really long road trip as a family. I really think about, like, I have more family and lifestyle goals, and I use real estate as a vehicle to achieve those. So I think often about all the things that I want to do that are amazing with my life from a family and a friend and a adventure and a lifestyle perspective, because those are the things that really, really make me tick. So, and then I just plug in all those other real estate goals around there so that I can do what I want to do.
I like that a lot. I think so many people focus on the money aspect or how many units I'm going to have or how much money I'm going to make or whatever. They focus on that, but they don't focus on why are we doing it? Because we can chase it. But if you're not doing it for reasons that are truly going to make you happy, then what are you doing it for?
I know. And I don't know if you followed Tony Robbins at all, but I've been to some of his seminars, and he talks a lot about tying your emotion, motion follows emotion. So the more that we can tie our emotions to what it is that we want in the future and the beautiful things we've had in our past and remembering those things, then it's going to make everything happen so much faster. So I actually go and attach my emotions and the feelings in my soul towards my future self oftentimes, of like imagining us walking in our Hawaii house and coming back from the beach together as a family, or coming from the farmer's market and being able to have coffee on my lanai in the morning with a beautiful view. Like, those are the things that make me do what I want to do, because I can just, you know, when you feel it in your soul, it just, I don't know, maybe that sounds a little bit foo-foo, but it really works for me and I love it.
No, I agree. I think it's a lot more powerful when you can actually, when you actually have like what you said, these tangible goals of this is what my life should be like versus this is how much I should make.
Yeah. And
I always work backwards, say, this is what I want my life to be like. This is what we need then to make the life like that. So by the way, when you get your Hawaii house built, if you need some house guests, just let me know.
Oh, well, you know, one of the reasons we said we were building it, and we decided this on our 10th anniversary, we went away and we said, okay, by our 20th anniversary, we want to at least have a parcel of land in Hawaii. And actually, it's like a mission of my husband and I to just open it up to our friends and family to go stay for free whenever they want. It's like, seriously, that's like part of our heart. So Todd, you're my friend. You there can totally go stay at my Hawaii house.
Awesome. What's a favorite book that you're either reading now or that you've read that you really enjoy?
Oh, it's such a hard question because I read so much. One that I really, really like is Napoleon Hill's Law of Success, which is 700 pages. It's a giant behemoth and it's really hard to get into, but it's fascinating. In fact, all of his works I think are really cool. I really also love reading biographies of fascinating people in this world. So recently I read a biography about Elon Musk, and that book this year has been impactful from an entrepreneurial standpoint of thinking way bigger than I ever would have thought to think. So he thinks in an otherworldly sort of way, literally, like wants to colonize planet Mars. That's what he is like put on this earth for. So that is a really cool book from an entrepreneurial standpoint, and Napoleon Hill's more from a mindset standpoint.
Cool. I've not read Laws of Success, but I'm looking up and I see it in my bookshelf as books to read. So
yeah,
it's there.
It. It's a good one.
Last question before we kind of wrap up. What are your three pillars of wealth creation?
My three pillars of wealth creation. Okay. You can't measure what you don't track, or whatever that saying goes. So for instance, I think about 4 or 5 years ago, we started tracking our net worth. And in order to move that forward to the place that we want to be so that we can retire early and live a sweet life. Well, not that we aren't right now, we're living a totally sweet life, but I measure my net worth on probably every other week. I take a look at that and plug in the new numbers however I need to, so I can consistently see that it's moving the direction that I want it to move. Another pillar of wealth creation is, so I have this thing where whenever we put money into savings, we're not allowed to take it out unless it's an emergency. So I have all these different accounts set up for different things like vacation savings, tax savings, retirement, whatnot. And once it goes in, it's not allowed to come out unless it's absolutely necessary. And then we're always moving towards that financial goal and wealth creation. And number three, I'd say you have to be comfortable with a level of risk that is, you have to get comfortable being uncomfortable when it comes to risk is the best way to say that. So whatever you're comfortable with, push yourself a little bit further, because you're never going to get to the place you want to get if you're always sitting at your comfort level. So I'm always thinking about new things that I can do. For instance, somebody just brought up this like development deal for multifamily in near where I live. And I'm like, I'm not doing that right now, but I want to think about that because that's outside of my comfort level. And that would enable me to do something bigger and maybe achieve greater wealth creation than I would without that. So I'm always thinking of things that I don't know a lot about so that I can become more knowledgeable and more comfortable with them.
Awesome. So I know you've got a podcast.
I do. Yeah.
How do people reach that and what's it about?
Yeah, it's called Investing for Life, and it's kind of about what we've just talked about today, which is the intersection of entrepreneurship, investing, and intentional lifestyle design. So I bring a lot of entrepreneurs and real estate folks on there, but I also have like Tamar talks about whatever's on my mind for lifestyle stuff and what I've been working on. And that's at investingforlifepodcast.com.
And then how do people get in touch with you, or is that the way to get in touch with you?
They can certainly go to my website, which is Marota Group, M-A-R-O-T-A group.com. And there's a contact form on my website. And I'd love to hear from anybody. And I like hearing success stories or, you know, questions on stuff they're working on. I'm not an expert, but I always love sharing my story. I think stories are really powerful. And any way I can help, I'm glad to do so.
Awesome. Well, Tamar, I appreciate you taking time out of your day. I know you've got a busy day. You're in the car right now and doing a lot of work. So I will let you get back to it. I appreciate the time you were able to take.
I'm so appreciative of your time as well, Todd. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, have a great day. Hey, special thanks to Tamar Marr for joining us on the show. Appreciate her taking time out of her day and spending it with us and giving us a ton of value. A couple things that I took from this episode. One was make sure you have a business plan. Put a business plan in place. Make sure you know what your goals are and what you're trying to achieve and work off of your business plan. Number two, she talked about contracts. Make sure you have good, strong contracts in place and work off of those contracts and with everything, with contractors, with everything that you deal with, make sure you have contracts. I've learned the hard way. She's learned the hard way. So learn from our mistakes and have good, strong contracts. And then the last thing she talked about is relationship building, and that's extremely important, going to conferences, going to meetups, just meeting everybody and having good relationships with them, building teams and systems, building teams around you, and it's going to be good in all aspects, making sure you're adding value to. I think that's really important. Make sure you add value to those relationships. It's not just a one-way street. So again, thanks for Tamar joining us on the show. Appreciate her taking time out of her day. We appreciate you listening. I definitely appreciate you listening. Thanks for being part of Pillars of Wealth. And share this out. Share it out with your network. We'd love to continue to grow. So continue to share and give us ratings and reviews. Appreciate that as well. I'm Todd Dexheimer, and signing off. Make every day Saturday.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today.